Redbeard's Outfitter is a Mobile, Alabama-based outfitter offering a carefully curated selection of gear and apparel, outfitting you for your next adventure, exploring our world, and building community. We love this local store, and we love supporting folks like them who are building community in the outdoor space. Plus, they have some spectacular apparel for Alabamians and all the gear anyone would need to be ready to enjoy the outdoors. Use promo code TSO for a 20% discount online or visit them in store. Visit redbeardsoutfitter.com for more information. This is The Storied Outdoors, a podcast somewhere between Lewis and Tolkien and Lewis and Clark, finding clarity in the stories we tell and the adventures that shape us. Welcome to The Storied Outdoors. My name is Brad Hill, and I'm joined, as always, by my good friend and co-host, Brian Gill. We are so excited today to have David Parham today join us. He said I could call him Parham, but I want to go Parham. He was called Parham growing up. That's a whole nother story and maybe another podcast. But Parham, David Parham's joining us today. He grew up in Birmingham. He attended college in Tuscaloosa and currently lives there in Huntsville working as an engineer. He grew up climbing and was driven outdoors by finding anywhere he could go climb. Climbing quickly turned him into a camper because he would go climbing and then he would need somewhere to sleep over the weekend when he was climbing. So therefore, camping was a great option for a place to sleep. And then that turned into more climbing. And then that turned into finding waterfalls, which is fascinating because waterfalls serve as a spectacular place to cool down when you're camping and climbing in the middle of the summer. But waterfall hunting led to hiking and thus the process of finding more waterfalls. When he's not at home, he's at work, and now he works at home, so that's pretty awesome. And he does jiu-jitsu, fascinating. I've never gotten into that. I got a bunch of pals that are all about jiu-jitsu. I've never gotten into that, but it looks like it would be fun. He loves exploring the outdoors with his two daughters and his wife. They love spending time exploring North Alabama and seeing all the different views, caves, and waterfalls, of course, that it has to offer. So welcome to the podcast, David. We're so thankful you took time out of your schedule to join us, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
David, I follow your Instagram, the Huntsville Adventurer, and it's just fascinating what you do and the beauty that you have found in the state of Alabama. You know, I think that you were probably one of the most, I don't even know how to explain it. It's like the one account that I follow that just brings beauty to the Instagram world, and it's right here in Alabama, and it's, you know, you're not having to travel all across the world to do it. It's just right here in our backyard. What's the source of your passion for your home state and adventuring in your own backyard?
So I grew up here. I used to go outside all the time, especially in my late teens and my early 20s. And like he said, I would go climbing. And I've just found out, I grew up in Alabama, and then I found out that Alabama was beautiful later in my life. And I hated the fact that I had no idea when I was younger about all the different beautiful places. And my passion for this account isn't as much about the outdoors as I love helping people. It's one of the things that I really deeply have a passion for, helping people. One of my career paths I looked at when I was younger was becoming a teacher, because I really enjoy that. And so when people come to me all the time about, hey, saw you take this picture, where is this? I decided at some point that I was just going to create guides to help people find those. And then in order to showcase those guides, I started Huntsville Adventure on social media, and it kind of evolved from there. But like I said, it was one of the things that I grew up not knowing about a lot of these places. I didn't go hiking. I did see Little River Falls when I was probably in middle school, high school time frame. But other than that, I had no idea that we had so much beautiful landscapes in Alabama. And so when I got older and I found these, I was like, I have to share this with people. I have to show people what there is here in the state, because it is precious, it's beautiful, and a lot of people have no idea it's here.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you look at places and you think, you know, well, Brad and I've said this, you know, we've been doing this podcast for, we're in our eighth season now, and it's, we've learned to stop saying, you wouldn't know that you were in Alabama, you know, when you see something beautiful. Because what I've learned is that Alabama is much more beautiful than we've been giving it credit for. And so,
totally.
What you said something about you have this desire to help people. Where does that come from?
I have no idea. I did always find myself in situations where I like to progress the people around me. I really have no idea where that came from. I can think of it. You know, you talked about jujitsu. I can think about it all the time in jujitsu. I'm constantly helping others with what they're learning. But I have no idea where that comes from. I haven't dove into that part of myself yet. So I that's something I need to think about.
Nice. Well, I love that you like to help people because it's helped me see the state in a different way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's if there was a place worthy of diving into, I think that was probably one of them. That'd be an encouraging thing to find out why you like to help people, because it really is encouraging. You know, we early on, one of our early stories in the podcast is we sort of got derailed on a trip on the way to Tennessee to go fish, and we found ourselves staying at a family's camp house. We were on the way. Brian calls it a fish camp. And I had something in my head as to what a fish camp was, and what we drove up to was very different from the fish camp I had in my head. It was a very nice home that's part of Brian's family there in Fort Payne. And we ended up staying there in Fort Payne and going around. You mentioned Little River Canyon. We got to see several different places there. And we did. That's where the conversation sort of began for us, saying, man, yeah, you wouldn't think you're in Alabama. That was kind of one of the first places I remember us going, wow. And it was in October. The leaves were changing. It was very beautiful. And man, some beautiful places right there, you know, Mentone and all around Fort Payne. And was that DeSoto State Park? Is that right, Brian? Am I getting that right? Remembering that correctly?
Yep.
But yeah, that was the first place I remember us having that conversation. So it was really great. Man, you've gone all over. I mean, your Instagram profile is, you found all kinds of places and taking quite some journeys here just in the state, which is incredible. And I love that, because one, not everybody has the finances to get outside of the state. And there's a lot that's very accessible here in our home state, and very inexpensive to do, but very beautiful to see. What are some things that, you know, anytime you go on adventures like that, you learn things about yourself. What are some things as you look back on some of your adventures that you learned about yourself? Maybe some places that you have dug down into.
Man, these are deep questions. I wasn't expecting this deep. what did I learn about myself? I learned to truly trust myself on the outdoors. I think that it's really important for you to go somewhere and not be on a path that you can follow. Like Bankhead is a great example, where you're just off trail, and being able to trust yourself and your knowledge of the land, trust your ability to be able to go and find your way back. Because that's something that has really evolved me as a person, being able to go out into some of these places and say, hey, I'm going to find my way, or this place, I'm going to find my way to my car, and be able to do that over and over. I've learned to be able to say, okay, I could literally park my car anywhere aside along the road and I can find my way back to it. Or if I need to go out into the woods, you know, in my neighborhood or something, you know, Huntsville is very different than a lot of these cities, where we actually have a lot of woods back into the houses. So I could go out into the woods and I could find my way back. That was something, I grew up in an urban environment and I didn't have a ton of that, because it was all roads, right? Everything met, we could find our way around easily. So when you go out there and you don't have roads, and all you have is maybe a map or, just your knowledge of the land, and be able to find your way back, has really evolved me as a person.
I love that. you know, I grew up in a small town in Alabama called Monroeville, Alabama. And so we would, we spent a large part of our upbringing was, you know, we're in the woods, in the hills and hollows of Monroe County and, you know, adventuring into the woods, building forts. I mean, there's a whole generation that has no idea what it means to go build a fort in the woods. But we would, man, we'd build forts. And you really, you're right. You learn how to take take in your surroundings and remember things that you pass. So it makes you, as you're walking, for me, it made me realize whenever I was walking or going through the woods, I was looking more intently at things that I passed. So whenever I went to come back, I would remember, oh yeah, there's that strange looking tree, or there's okay. this, or there's that stump, or there's that thing. I remember passing that, so that you know, you wouldn't get lost, which makes you pay attention to where you're going a little closer that when you are traveling into perhaps unknown areas, and so that you don't get lost, you know, instead of just walking. I mean, there's what a metaphor for life, you know, because you can get lost, you can get turned around if you're not paying attention to what's around you. And so then you see things that you didn't intend on seeing sometimes, and you're able to take them in and go, oh man, that is cool. Look at that stump, or look at that tree that looks kind of like tree beard or whatever.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, not following that path, it'll lead you to some really cool stuff that most people won't see in their lives.
That's right.
Yeah. You gotta be off path in order to find some of these places and some stuff that no one has any ideas there. And then you come across it.
Has there ever been a time where you were out there, you know, off the path and just kind of stopped in your tracks, like, oh wow, that's amazing. Like just in awe of what you were looking at?
All the time. Yeah. And it really hits me when it's here in Alabama. Like it's really cool when it's other places, but when it's here in Alabama, it's like you said earlier, I have no idea Alabama could be this beautiful. It happened to me almost every single time I go to Bankhead National Forest. I mean, you drop into Shangri-La Falls and you feel like you're in a different planet. I mean, the water's blue. It's this beautiful waterfall. It's like a green scenery. Even in winter, it's green because you have all these evergreen trees. Mm. You have like these rocks coming in behind you, and they have orange from the iron. I think it's iron. I think it's iron in the rock, but it's orange spots on there. And it's just so beautiful out there. Every single time I go out there, I'm like, God, I can't believe that this is just right down the road from me. Yeah, this place is just so beautiful.
Yeah. I've only been in Bankhead twice. And I mean, that feels like a very wild country. You know, it feels so removed from everything. And it's just, but you're driving distance from, you know, some decent sized cities, and it's like, wow, you really do feel like you're in a different place.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's one of my go-tos, especially when I'm by myself. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to take the kids there because it's a lot of off trail stuff. And you know, if I am going to get lost, which I haven't yet, but if I am going to get lost, I want it to be just me, because I know that I'm going to have to be hiking miles to find my way out. And carrying,
you don't need two kids in tow.
No. Carrying a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old isn't my idea of fun. No. Maybe when they get a little bit older, I do bring them to Bankhead, but only when I really, like, I really know where I'm going.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, to have Bankhead right here, it's refreshing to be able to go out there in the middle of nowhere. There's not a lot of people out there. I rarely see another human when I'm hiking out there.
Mm.
And to be able to just get into that solitude by myself.
Mm. Mm. Can you talk about that? Why is that appealing? Why is that sort of solitude in a place like Bankhead so appealing?
So my life, and I'm sure most people's lives, is a constant go. You know, we rarely stop to be able to just stop and like look around us. Mm. And going out there, we have no cell phone signal. You have no way of, like, no entertainment other than what's in front of you. It kind of forces you to appreciate what you're doing more. And I think that that reconnection to that reconnection to like nature and to that that nothingness, like the ability to just do nothing, is super important for us. Because my life is, I work 40 hours a week. I have two kids. I have, you know, I go to the gym. I do this on the side on Instagram and Facebook, and then I have a side business as well. And so I am always go. And I write blogs for like We Are Huntsville, and for, well, I did write blogs for Rocket City Mom, but then I also help with Visit North Alabama. I helped with their waterfalls page. I'm just constantly doing stuff. So being able to go out there and just have that clear, that clear time to just me and doing nothing but appreciating what's around me is it's a great experience. And it's something that I feel like most people would benefit from, being able to go out there and just not have all the distractions of your everyday life.
And what, you know, that to me sounds so appealing, to be off the grid, away from phones, away from contacts, and, you know, email, that type of thing. I rarely do that. I should do it more. It should be something I incorporate as a discipline. If someone is listening and they don't know really how to do that or where to start, or, you know, are there any, you know, two or three tips that you could give? And if you know, in doing something like that.
Yeah. So just like everything, there's a learning curve to it. You got to start off small. Mm-hmm. Start off just hiking your neighborhood trails, and then from hiking your neighborhood trails, maybe one day you're hiking a neighborhood trail and you follow a creek bed, and then you follow your creek bed back to the trail, and then maybe next time you go out there for the same hike, you find a loop you can do where you follow the creek bed back, and you follow a different creek bed back to the same trail that you're on. But it all takes practice, mm-hmm. right? So you got to practice navigating. You got to practice reading maps. You have to practice all of this different stuff. And you can't just go out like it. I don't advise, I guess you could do it, but I don't advise going out there and just doing something big off grid, first time. Because
you got to do a little homework, right? I mean,
right.
Yeah.
So, my advice is just to practice, doing what your goal is, right? So, if your goal is to go off grid where you can't rely on any technology, you have to rely on maps, compass, is to give it a try in a more contained environment.
Hmm. Yeah. That's a good word.
Yeah, and a lot of times, like places like some of your stores, I know down here, our episodes have been sponsored by a friend of ours, a friend of mine down here in Mobile that has a business called Redbeard's Outfitters. It's kind of like a little home-owned outfitter shop, and man, they do a great job. And they'll offer a little weekly or weeknight classes. So they'll do a land nav. They've done a land nav class that a good friend of mine has taught. And so if you're interested in that, a lot of times places like an Alabama Outdoors or different organizations might do land navigation, where you get like a basics on how to use a compass and how to use a map if you're really interested in it, which is really fascinating.
Yeah, that's great. And I know that Wild Alabama, which is a nonprofit that in Bankhead and Talladega National Forest. So we're go to Redbeard if you're in South Alabama, but if you're in North Alabama, we don't have the option of Redbeard, but Wild Alabama is another great organization.
That's great.
They'll teach you.
Man, you talk about being a waterfall hunter. I love the, how the, all that transpires and sort of the need for being looking for a waterfall because you're hot from camping or climbing. And then obviously if you're climbing, you're in a place where the rocks are tall and waterfalls. So it makes sense how all those things come together. But can you describe, maybe the first time and the first waterfall that you sort of discovered and you didn't know was there, and what that was like for you, what that felt like?
Well, yeah, we were camping at Cherokee Rock Village. We called it Sand Rock growing up because that's what the climbers call it. We were climbing out at Cherokee Rock Village, And we were told, hey, if you go down this highway over here, drive 20 minutes, take a left, you're going to come right across some waterfall. And I had no idea. And it was Little River Falls. And I had, what's crazy is I had been there before, but we just came, we were just told to go down this road and take a left and go down this road, take a left. And we found it. I mean, and it's not super close. I mean, it's a 25-minute drive, but we ended up finding it. And we went to Little River Falls, and I do not recommend this to anybody. We climbed down the front of the falls because we didn't know the paths to get down there around, but we were good climbers. I mean, we weren't great climbers, but we were decent climbers. So we climbed down the front of the falls, and we climbed up the front of the waterfall. And but
My goodness.
that was the first waterfall we found, and I thought, this is so cool. This is probably the only waterfall in all of Alabama, is what I thought, at the time. Not
Little did you know.
Little did I know. That's right.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, just to be able to find that. Yeah, I don't know. That sounds like a great experience. What
Yeah,
are
this is back before GP. Well, I mean, GPS was available. We didn't have GPS. We
Map
were
quest.
we did well. We didn't MapQuest that. Yeah, we used MapQuest. Well, I don't know if I used MapQuest for that. I think the last time I used MapQuest was trying to find my wife's parents' house when I was in college.
It printed out. I remember that mess.
Oh, that's so
Mess.
funny.
Well, I had this screenshot on my iPod. I had an iPod Touch, and I had screenshots on my
Oh,
iPod Touch
big
because.
timer, big
Oh
timer.
yeah,
Oh, that's right. You're
yeah.
an engineer. That's right. Here it is.
Yeah,
That's
that's what the smart guys did.
Yeah. Well, this is before that, before the iPod Touches, we used the printed out versions of the MapQuest in high
It would
school.
never fail. You'd print them out, and your printer would be running out of ink, and so like the
Oh yeah.
directions would get real like sort of faint, so you're kind of living on a prayer.
Plus my parents who paid for all that ink, I look at
Oh,
that now and I'm like, man, what a waste of ink.
I know. Man,
Oh man.
you talk about waterfalls, and you talk about Bankhead, one of your favorites. What are do you have a top five? Do you have a top 10 favorite places in Alabama? Do you have some places that you keep finding yourself returning to for some reason?
So I'll go with my top three.
Oh, that's good.
Top three is Bankhead because, well, I mean, because I'm going to talk about areas, I can incorporate three. If you tell me specific locations, it's going to be like
That's a long
the
list.
list is going
A
to,
long
right. So Little River
part four of
Canyon.
our podcast.
You guys thought you only had me for an hour. So Little River Canyon is absolutely one of them. I love how untouched the land is. They have big waterfalls. Outside of Little River Canyon, like if you keep on going north, they have DeSoto Falls, but
Oh,
and
yeah.
so you can't really count that, but it's still close by. You want to count it.
Yeah.
I love that area. Absolutely love it. Bankhead National Forest is either second or first. It's just beautiful. The color in Bankhead National Forest is unmatched in the state. It has some of the prettiest colors. I say that as I'm going to go into number three, but it has some of the prettiest colors, I think, in probably the entire United States. It's just beautiful there. The mix between like the blue water and the green and the orange from the rock, it's incredible. And then you have like the sinkholes in Jackson County. So pavers are really specific about they don't like you to call it names, so I won't name any specifically. But the sinkholes in Jackson County are some of there's one that's 164 feet deep in Fackler, Alabama, and it is like you could set two school buses nose to nose, and it could lower all the way down.
Oh my
It's
gosh.
massive. It is a massive sinkhole. And it has these ferns that are growing on the sides the whole way down. Afterwards, I'll give you all the name, but you can Google it and you'll see how just beautiful this sinkhole is. And I do have a ropes background. I climbed for 10 years. So I'm very good at the ropes. I like to rappel into those. I do not like caving. Adventuring Light Amanda has been trying to get me to go caving with her for a while now, and I'm always like, "Are you gonna stick me in somewhere tight?"
Like, she's been on our podcast before, and
she tried to convince us the same thing.
She tried to, yeah.
I was like, it ain't happening, sister.
She wanted us to go caving and herping, and I wasn't comfortable with either one.
Yeah, I'll do the rappelling all day. I'm not afraid of heights, but you put me in tight spaces and I freak out a good bit.
That's correct, sir.
I got an MRI one time and I was like sitting there with my thumb over that button. If you don't give me music in that MRI machine, I will start having like heart palpitations. You know,
I've even got to be able to hang my leg off of my bed if those covers get too heavy.
That's right. Oh, that's right.
Zipping up my sleeping bag.
But she's a big caver. She loves trying to get everybody out of their comfort zone, trying to go caving, and I'm just like, oh, I don't know about that.
she was an awesome conversation. Yeah, she educated us.
She's been educating a lot of people lately on Facebook.
Yeah.
But what was fascinating from that conversation and what you're talking about is just how many caves there are in North Alabama. There are an astronomical amount of caves up there.
And, Jackson County, per square miles, I think is one of the, it's one of the top ones. I've seen where it says it's the most, but I'm an engineer, so I did the math. And White County, Tennessee, it barely has more per square mile. Wow. It was like,
in the country?
I don't remember. What?
In the country?
In the country, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Jackson County, Alabama has some of the most per square mile, charted caves is per square mile in the country.
That's impressive.
Yeah, there's so impressive. Many of them. And so I post caves all the time. You know, I post like cave entrances. I don't post inside of caves because I don't want to go in there.
We'll leave that up to Adventure and Light.
Yeah, let somebody else take a camera.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. And her stuff is super entertaining. She squeezes all through all sorts. Like, I get nervous watching her videos. Me
too. Hands get sweaty.
Yeah, knowing that she got out there just fine. I just watch it. I'm like, nah, that's not for me. Oof. But the... Jackson County has so many caves, and every single time I post a picture of a cave, everyone wants to know. They're like, this is awesome. But they don't realize that, I mean, I could be posting a cave a day for the rest of the year and never do another one. You know, there's so many of them. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, for me, I live down in Mobile. You know, on the very end, you go all the way down 65 till you run out of road. And that's where I live. You know, it can't be any more South Alabama than where I live and spend a lot of my time. And so it is fascinating to me, you know, for someone who spends a lot of time, like this Friday, you know, weather permitting, I'm going to put my boat in down in Grand Bay and I'll be out in the grass marsh trying to find a redfish with my fly rod. You know, and you can get out there and it is just an absolute vast maze of grass flats and creeks cut through that grass. And, you know, it's all only, you know, mere feet deep and the grass is, you know, is only like four and a half feet tall. But if you're below that grass, you know, you can't see, you know, but right at the top of it, you can just see for what feels like, you know, what is miles. We were just out here this past Saturday afternoon, the final Saturday of duck season. And we were out there in the grass flats, you know, looking for ducks. And it's just incredible to see. And then to get in a vehicle, you know, and you can drive north just a few hours. And now you're, you know, even back up to my house where I live in North Mobile County. You know, the upper delta is completely different than the salt water and the grass flats. And we wood duck hunted out in the upper delta of the Mobile, you know, river delta system. And there's oak trees, you know, and swampland. And then you get in your car and you just keep going north in Alabama and you haven't left and you start seeing rock outcroppings. And man, a whole nother ecosystem and a whole nother landscape all right here in the same state, from white sands to swamp and marshland, all the way to caves in North Alabama. It's incredible to me.
Yeah, we've got swampland here too. I don't know if you do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you have quite the amount of alligators that we have.
We
here.
Don't. We don't. Our alligators are not native either. So, yeah. They were put here. The story is they were put here by Redstone to kill off the beavers, and they thought that they were going to die, and then they didn't.
they survived. Very resilient.
They are
very, very resilient. Yeah. Yeah, that she tried. Amanda tried to talk us into herping, and I was like,
"What is herping?"
Is looking for reptiles. See, that was a new one for us too. I was like, "You gonna do what now? You gonna do what?"
See, I would do that. I want to go see an alligator at some point. They're supposed to be pretty docile creatures. For the most part, they are not interested in humans. Mm.
Don't take a dog around it though. They're very interested in dogs.
Very interested in dogs. Don't want it to grab my dog. I don't have a dog, so it would be
growing up in Eufaula, I mean, you know, alligators were everywhere. You know, it's on the Chattahoochee River. I mean, I think like the state record was killed not too long ago. They opened up a season. I think it's like 15 feet long. I mean, these things are like dinosaurs. There were two in my backyard, and we didn't live like out in the country. I mean, we had to put a fence up to keep the alligators out of our backyard, not my dog in the backyard. It was everywhere.
Yeah.
But
did y'all ever eat alligator?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Alligator tail is good.
Mm. Yeah. Alligator's pretty good.
Little gator bites.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm. I went down, and the only time I've ever had it was down in New Orleans. And you know, I swear they could cook anything in New Orleans and it tastes good, but the alligator bites were some of the best food I've had.
If you're going to try them for the first time, you probably want to try them in Louisiana. I mean, you're going to have a pretty good experience. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. That's a good especially New Orleans. Yeah. Especially New Orleans. They know how to spice things up. Yeah. Right.
So you've got a young family. You mentioned, you know, you have two daughters, and they come with you on some of these hikes, have these adventures kind of helped your family to kind of grow closer, or you know, have they sparked conversations? How has the outdoors impacted you as a parent?
So I'm not sure how to answer this question specifically because I've done it since they were born. Mm. So I don't know what to compare it to. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like this is the only thing that you've known.
Right. So, I mean, my girls, just like everything, they love it and hate it. It just depends on which day. Sometimes they're dying to, like, especially my little one will die to go see a waterfall. She's like, let's go see a waterfall. And sometimes I'm like, hey, you want to go do something? She's just no, I don't want to do that. But I feel like I'm pretty close to my daughters. I feel like we have a good bond, but I don't know exactly how to compare that to a normal dad because I've never not done this. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always been part of what you do, it's hard to know how it would be different if it wasn't there.
I've got pictures of me hiking with both of them when they were 4 weeks old.
Wow.
They've just come along. They were coming along for the ride. I have pictures of me carrying both my kids, hiking, and like, I'll take them without mama too. You know, I mean, it's just a normal day. Just take them. Maybe my wife might want to go be doing something else, or she's got other work she's got to get done, or she wants to just stay at home and clean the house or something, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'll take both of them. And I did that from when my youngest was like literally 4 weeks old. I have pictures of me with both of them up on Montesano hiking when they were that young. I drove the younger one out to Russell Cave National Monument, which is like an hour and a half drive just by myself when she was 6 weeks old.
Wow.
So she's been young since she's been going on all these trips with me.
We went to Montesano not too long ago, actually, maybe about a month or two ago, and I did the glamping up there.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Man, that was really, really cool. If you kind of are on the fence about going camping, glamping is a good gateway drug for getting out there.
100% agree.
What is this glamping? Let me hear about this glamping. I mean, I've got my ideas, but my parents would go camping.
Yeah.
But they were RVing, which is very different.
So this is even easier than RVing because someone else sets up the tent for you. It's like going to a hotel in a tent, and the tent's massive, and
it has double beds in it with mattresses.
Yeah.
And air conditioned.
Air conditioned heating. We went glamping at Timberline at Lake Gunnersville. It's Timberline Glamping is the name of the company. They're the ones up on Montesano that you probably went to as well.
I could talk Paige into that.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. It's a game changer.
When you come in and it's like 28 degrees outside and you come in and it's like 70 degrees in that tent, it's a game changer. And
absolutely.
they got a little mini fridge in there.
Yep.
A coffee maker. Soda in there.
Yeah. You got a coffee maker in there in the morning.
Oh man, gotta have it. I would probably bring my own. I'm bad about that. Not too long ago, one of the things I did for a long time was I led worship, and my church asked me to lead worship for the youth retreat, which I hadn't done in a very long time, and so I felt like a really old guy because my daughter was there. Brian, you love that,
right? Oh man, you are old.
So, man, it was very, very odd sensation to lead worship for a youth retreat and your child be there. But that's another story altogether. But, you know, I wasn't sure about the coffee situation. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to take my own stuff. So I brought me some my hand grinder and coffee and my French press and my little pocket rocket with MSR stove. And I set it up and made my own coffee. Because if you're not sure what the coffee situation is like, you got to take matters into your own hands. So.
Yeah, you don't ever want to go into that coffee situation unprepared.
No.
I didn't drink coffee when I was in high school, but I swear we had access to as much coffee in our church retreats as we wanted.
Unwise. But.
It was the early 2000s. You know, they just let us do stuff.
Yeah.
Very different times.
It wasn't a youth retreat or anything if it didn't have like at least a case of Red Bulls or not Red Bulls, the Code Reds.
Code Reds. I was going to say, boy, they'd have been in serious trouble.
Yeah, we didn't have Red Bulls. We had Code Reds. Had Red Bulls.
I think we had Red Bulls.
Can you imagine like our generation had we had Monsters? And
we did. My generation, I grew up in high school with Monsters and Red Bull and Amp.
We had Mountain Dew and Code Red. That's as close as me and Brian.
Oh, we had LiveWire. Remember that? LiveWire?
Oh, yeah.
LiveWire.
That was one of our favorites.
LiveWire. Here, we had something called Redwire, I think.
Redwire. It may have been the red version. The LiveWire was like the amped up like Mountain Dew or something like that.
Okay. This was something different. Yeah.
It was amped up on Mountain Dew.
Gonna come at you like a spider monkey.
Oh man, good times, man. What I love that, you know, that you've made that a lifestyle for you and your family. You and your daughters, you know, girl dad, getting outside and taking your daughters, you know, outside. What about for the parent that hasn't done that, David? What are a couple of things that parents you would recommend to parents? Say, hey, I want to get my kids outside and away from screens.
It's never easy. It is work. Go into it with a very flexible mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be flexible. If it's time to go, it's just time to go. If your kids are ready to go, you just need to get out of there. I would, again, like everything, I would practice. That's intentional practice. It's one of the easiest way to overcome pretty much anything. If you intentionally practice with your kids, then they get more comfortable with hiking and they get more comfortable with everything that you're doing. And the more comfortable they are, the easier it is for you. And then taking one out of my wife's book, which is always bring plenty of snacks.
Hey,
have a snack.
Oh, you can't get 100 feet without a kid wanting a snack.
Nah, we got gummies.
Need a snack.
Yes. We got those Mott's gummies,
Oh yeah.
and
Oh, I know exactly what those are
graham
about.
crackers. Yeah,
My
yeah.
floorboard
Cool.
has got a covering of
Do
those.
y'all watch Bluey? Have y'all watched Bluey?
Oh,
Oh, that's awesome.
I haven't watched
Yes,
it. I'm sure
we've
Brian
watched
will.
it. I
Okay. Yeah,
synced
the episode where the back seat is completely covered in just junk because
I
it's
feel like
very
they were looking at
visible.
my car.
That's right. They're looking at every parent's car. I swear. It's
Don't know what's in
incredibly
that. I don't know
relatable.
what's in that Mott, but they look the same 8 weeks later as they do when you take them out of that package.
Oh my gosh.
They do. You can taste
That,
the same
yeah.
too.
We had a we started kind of packing, like if we're gonna go on a little hike, you know, we did some of the hikes around Montesano, and you know, some of them will take a couple hours. We'll grab some of those Crustables or like, you know, little peanut butter and jellies and some like an
Freeze them.
apple.
Freeze
Put
them.
them, yeah. I mean, it's just like anything that's gonna put a little bit of energy back into your kids, because they're gonna complain. They're gonna act like their legs are falling off or whatever. But
Get that hangry.
get hangry, and you're not yourself when you're angry. When you're
You're not
hungry.
yourself when you're angry. That's right, kiddos. That's
Yeah,
right.
you also have to be prepared to carry them out. You know, never get yourself, if you have small kids, if you have,
Yeah.
teenagers, you could probably, I don't know, but I assume that I'm going to be able to reason with a teenager easier than a 4-year-old. I have no idea. I don't have a teenager yet, but that's what I assume.
It's
But
touch and go,
yeah.
bro.
I never bring my kids into something that I can't carry them out.
That's
Which
a good
is,
word.
yeah. Which is, I put myself into, I hiked Walls of Jericho with my oldest when she was about 1.5 years. So carrying her up. Have y'all ever done Walls of Jericho?
I have. I don't have a very good experience from that one.
Yeah, it's a long hike. It's a
It's a,
tough
it's, and
hike.
it's pretty steep.
It's at the 1,300 feet elevation gain, 7 miles, 1,300 feet elevation gain. It is one of the harder hikes in North Alabama for sure. I carried her the whole way out, and it wasn't fun, but I could do it.
Yeah.
Right? It was very difficult, but I could do it. And so I was willing to go down there with her, with the expectation of I'm going to carry her out. And I ended up having to, so
Well, it's funny you said that. My experience is very similar. I was hiking with my girlfriend, who is now my wife for 17 years. You know, it, and we were both, it was crazy. We were both having IT band issues when we were hiking. And so like going down was just excruciating, and like I had to lean on her. But she was fine going down. But then, like, she was having a
flip
hard
flop.
time coming up.
Oh man.
Oh.
And it was helpful for me to put pressure on mine coming up. So, like, I gave her a piggyback for most of the way up out of that. And it was like,
Oh.
it was ridiculously hard. And, like, I don't even think we made it to the walls of Jericho. We made it to, like, that creek that's at the bottom.
Yeah.
But we didn't even make it to the actual walls of Jericho. We made it down the hardest part and never saw the actual
So
payoff.
did you So you come to a creek and then you have to cross a bridge. Should y'all cross that
No,
bridge?
we
Okay,
didn't.
yeah,
We...
so y'all made it probably like 2/3 of the way, 3/4 of the way, somewhere in there.
Okay.
You made it over halfway, but
Well,
yeah,
I
you
was
need
about to say, please don't tell me we didn't make it even halfway,
No, you made it over
because we were in
halfway.
so much pain.
So
Oh,
that
man.
last part is actually, so that part that you went down is the steepest part, and it's the what wears you out the most. The next part's the most technical part.
Oh,
So it's got
interesting.
it's really rocky, really uneven footing. And so you still had a ways to go on that more technical ground.
I'd like to give it another shot. I mean,
I
I've
think, see,
learned.
I feel like we need to redeem this trip, Brian.
Yeah.
You and Sarah need to redeem yourselves.
I
You
agree.
do.
We've talked about that. I mean, I
You
think
didn't
I've
write about it,
learned.
then you should write about it. I'd like that. A little metaphor
Hey,
for marriage.
that'd be pretty good. I've learned a few stretches along the way. How do you help your IT band? You know, I didn't know those 17, 18 years ago.
Well, didn't need stretches as much when we were younger as we do now.
That's a good point.
These days, I have to stretch when I get out of the bed.
We're making ourselves seem really old tonight.
I feel old, and I'm younger than you guys, but I feel old myself. Dave, Go ahead.
No, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, of course, I put myself on a mat with a whole bunch of 20-year-olds and roll around the ground with them just for fun. That's jiu-jitsu, right?
Right. You're asking for it.
So I get, my body just hurts all the time.
Well, my son's gotten to the age where, like, I have to tell him, he's got to warn me before he punches me now. Because, like, you know, he's got a lot of power in those punches. Like, I used to could just take it, whatever. It's like, I'm like, now you got to give me a little heads up before you start wailing on me.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to do that with Liam. And we've relegated him now to the old shoulder. Mm. So every now and then he's not ready and I'll tense up and lean into it a little bit. All his fingers will pop.
I was about to say, I mean, he's going to hurt his hand before he hurts your shoulder.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, David, what is, all right. So we like to refer to this podcast as the digital campfire. Imagine we're sitting around swapping stories, got the crackle of the fire, the glow of the light. What is a story you like to share of an adventure or something about being outdoors?
We've already gone through so many. Hold on. Let me think of one that I haven't told yet.
Any near-death experiences, close calls?
Bears.
I love those. Bears. Any bear stories? We love bears.
I wish I had a good bear story.
Do you, though?
I said I wish I had a good bear story. That means two things. One, it already happened in the past. And two, I survived it.
Yeah, there you go. Good point.
You may have thrown those underwear away, but you
know. I got a lot of good stories. I got a lot of good stories about my past that I survived them, and they're great stories. But I would never want to go through it again. So I wish I had a good bear story.
Preach.
Man, I mean, most of my stories that I have, I can think off the top of my head aren't that interesting. Closest I've come to getting lost in Bankhead was, I was using my phone as a GPS, and I was cutting across to the backwoods. I was going back a different way than I came. But that's, you know, I ended up getting out of that just fine.
That's kind of scary, though.
I got one.
Okay, you got it. Here we go.
I got it. All right. I was actually with Amanda, Adventuring Light.
Well, here's your problem.
First time I'd ever, it's the only time I've ever met her. We were hiking to Natural Well, and I was hiking to Natural Well with her, and we parked up on Montesano, and I had both my kids with me, and they were going there to rappel it. I was just going just to hike to Natural Well because I hadn't been there in a while. And I was hiking with my little one on my shoulders, and my other one was just running around. She's a great hiker now. My older one's a great hiker. But we were hiking down, and this is the first time I met her. It's the first time I met her friend, and she was filming everything too. And I was hiking, and I was carrying a cup of coffee, and I had on video a root had caught my foot, and I couldn't get it free. And I was holding on to my daughter so that she wouldn't go over, and I fell down to my knees, and I landed right on top of a rock. And so I get up and I just pretend like nothing happened. And I was like, oh yeah, that's it's all fine and good. So I kept hiking, and then I looked down and I had blood going down through my pants. I pulled it up and I had like a half inch gash, like all the way in a U shape all the way around my knee. And again, first time, this is just, you know, this is the pride that gets to you. And I was like, oh, hey guys, I got to turn around. I might need to go to the emergency room. They're like, do you need any help? I'm like, no, I got it.
Oh, my gosh.
Out of there with this giant gash in my knee, and I called my wife on the way home. I was like, I'm coming home, take my kids, I'm going to the emergency room. And I ended up with like 8 staples in my knee.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
that pride of a man, you know.
Stupid roots.
Yeah,
Oh,
that,
get
but she
you.
had she sent me the video. I have the video on a camera of me falling.
Oh man.
Man, it's a wonder you didn't get hurt worse,
Yeah.
and your daughter for that
Ooh.
matter.
Yeah,
Gosh.
well, when you watch it, it doesn't look too bad, because you just fall down. I just fell down to my knees, but like I couldn't catch myself at all except for on my knees because I was carrying her and I was making sure she didn't fall,
Yeah.
right? And I had coffee in my hand, so I couldn't like get rid of the coffee and out of my and it, 'cause it was a cup. I was holding on to the.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, just helpless feeling.
It was a little bit of helpless feeling,
And
and I
then you
was.
had then you got to play it cool for the kiddos, because
Oh
you
yeah,
know.
for the kid, for the kiddos, for my pride. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, and your own video. So you, I
It
mean,
was
there's
for the
that's
kids,
right.
man. For the
That's right. Yeah,
Was
I
it?
couldn't walk for like a week after that, but
Oh my
it
gosh,
was
that.
it wasn't too bad, you know. It was
That
that's I've had
hurts.
much worse injuries. Yeah.
Is there a? I want to circle back to something I wanted to ask. You know, in your adventures in Alabama, is there a place that you maybe you had heard of, but you'd never seen before, that you went and found that like really like surprised you? Maybe because, you know, sometimes it's because your expectations are really low when you're going somewhere you've never been before, or they're really high. But is there a place in Alabama that really like genuinely surprised you at it at its grandeur?
I'll tell you what, that happens to me all the time still. Pisgah Gorge was one of those places that I went to. It really surprised me. A lot of the waterfalls in Bankhead really surprised me when I got there. The sinkholes in Jackson County just are absolutely gorgeous. And every single time, like I remember walking up to that one I was talking about earlier. And just my jaw just dropping at how big it was because I was not expecting it to be that big. And then when I rappelled into it, I literally was yelling out, "Wow!" just because of how beautiful it was the whole way down. I
Like
mean,
that.
you talk about the in these sinkholes, because of the way the light hits from the sun, it can only channel in one direction. Right. So you end up with these ray of lights from direct sunlight. You end up with these ray of lights coming down into the caves. It's light that looks like you can touch it. It is absolutely astounding. It's really, really just, it's just beautiful. And then they have these, like I said, that one has like the greenery all the way around it and has this giant waterfall coming down into the cave, into the sinkhole too. It's so cool.
That sounds like something just, you know.
Out of a movie,
Yeah, I mean, that sounds
Yes.
Steven Spielberg wrote that, you know. I mean,
Yeah. Yeah. It when you see pictures of it, you'll hope you'll understand somewhat of
Yeah.
what it's like to be there, but
Sure.
it's so much prettier in person.
Sure.
Brad, what do you always say? You can't find those things sitting on a couch.
That's right. Yeah. Not gonna find them on the couch.
Yeah.
That's great. Man, how maybe a couple of things, like how can we promote? You mentioned a couple of different organizations and things that you write for and a part of, but like, you know, whether it's Visit Alabama or whatever, what are some ways that we can, you know, promote and protect these natural areas that we love here in Alabama?
So there's three major organizations that I know of in North Alabama. One is Wild Alabama. They own land. They do a lot of cleanup, a lot of clearing in Bankhead National Forest and Talladega National Forest. The Land Trust of North Alabama has been an absolute saint to this area. They have been wonderful for getting land, making trails, maintaining trails, developing parking lots. They have given so much to Huntsville and the surrounding areas. If you can support them, that's amazing. And then SCCI is the caving organization that owns a lot of these sinkholes that I've been talking about. And they are not only good for cavers, they're also good for protecting the bat populations, which are endangered species. There's a lot of issues around white nose syndrome for the gray bats here in North Alabama. And so they do a lot of good outside of just giving. They do recreation, but they also do preservation, which
Oh, I love
is
that.
awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to make sure we highlight some of those organizations that are doing such great things. We'll put those on our show notes.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, because those are three organizations are there's also other land trusts. I don't know name. I can't name them off the top of my head. But also, just simple as getting out and voting whenever we have something that comes up with, Wild Alabama. I remember them being on the ballot years ago, but still every once in a while we'll have a something you can vote on. Showing up and voting on stuff like that is also helpful.
Yeah, that's great.
What is one of the last questions that we like to ask our guests is what's your next adventure? So what for you is your next adventure?
I'm a really bad planner. So I have a few things in mind, and I don't know which one I'll do until the time comes up. And people ask me all the time if they can come hiking with me. My answer is, if you can figure out a time to go and invite me, I'll come with you. But I am terrible planning, so don't expect me to invite you because I don't know what I'm doing until carry up almost.
Spur of the moment.
Spur of the moment. Yeah. So I saw there's a new Instagram account that I've been following called Uncharted Alabama,
Oh,
and
cool.
they started back in like August, and they've been posting waterfalls from Skyline, which is where Walls of Jericho is. It's Skyline Wildlife Reservation, and I really want to go check out some of that area because I haven't spent a ton of time there. There's also a few places I want to check out in Bankhead, and there's a few places I want to check out in Little River Canyon. So between those three, I don't know what I'll do next. I also want to go take a kayak up to Burgess Falls in Tennessee. I don't know if you have seen Burgess Falls, but it's like comes out to a point like this, and it has waterfall going down all sides. And you can kayak up to the base of it. It's a huge waterfall. It's really, really pretty. But I want to go there. I want to go hike Virgin Falls again. I've got so many different things. I don't know what I'm going to do next, but I can tell you that I will find something. There's just so many different places I could go, and depending on what I have time to do and which kids I have will probably determine what I do next.
Now, at the beginning of our conversation, you said that you were making guides and maps and things like that for people. Do you still do that?
Yes, yeah. Everywhere I go, I typically make a guide for and put it on my website.
Okay, so how can people find that and follow you on your social media outlets? What's the best way to find some of the great things you're putting out there for people?
My website's www.huntsvilleadventurer.com. So it's like I'm an adventurer, and I realized that was not the best name for it because it's really hard to pronounce and it kind of gets confusing. Not Huntsville Adventure, but Huntsville Adventurer. And Huntsville Adventure is also my Facebook handle, my Instagram handle. I'm on TikTok. I have a Threads account. I've posted one time. I have a Twitter. I don't post it on there, but Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok are usually the best ways to follow me.
Awesome. Those guides, I'm going to be wanting to check out some of those on your website because I've got I'm always up in North Alabama, around the Fort Payne area and looking for some new adventures to have. That's
Yeah,
great.
I tried to make everything as easy. My goal when I made the website was to make it as fast and as easy as possible for people to get on there. I do have the whole annoying pop-up ads, but it was like the only way that it would actually pay for itself.
I think people are just as used to those now.
Yeah, I know. I hate having them on there, but I look at it, I'm like, well, I could go in the red doing this, or I could make a little bit of money doing it, and I'll choose to make a little bit of money. But my goal was to make it as fast and as easy as possible for people to find what they want. I hated when I would get a recipe and they would spend three paragraphs explaining how it made them feel, you know? So my goal was to do the opposite and to not put any fluff into my guides, just to put put pictures, maps, and the words that are necessary.
Save the fluff for the blog post, man.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I'm an engineer, so like I don't want to write extra words anyway. So it plays to what I want to do anyway.
Here's how it works, but, okay?
Yeah, that's right. So hopefully people find them useful, because I try to make them nothing but useful.
That's great.
I have like the GPS tagged on the parking lot, so you can know. If it's difficult to find, I'll have GPS tagged locations for what you're looking for. And it's not trail based. It is in location based. So I don't say, hey, here's a nice trail. Like I've hiked a ton of really nice trails here in Huntsville, but if it doesn't have a unique feature to it, I don't put it on my website, just because I have it designed to go towards, this is specifically what you're looking for. I figured that if people are looking to get out and hike, there's plenty of places to get out and hike. There's a guy here, Marcus Wolf. He has a book for all the trails in Huntsville. I don't know him, and I'm not affiliated with him or anything, but he has a great book that he's put together that has all the trails. If you're looking for any trails, that's a great place to go. If you're looking for, I have some end goal of what I want to find. Like I want to find a waterfall. I want to find a cave. I want to find like Beaver Dam Swamp is really cool, but it's destination based.
Oh, that's very cool. What a great resource.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
Super. Now, what a fun conversation, David. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to spend with us and share a little bit about what you're doing, and man, in the state that we all live and love. And we were talking, I think, a little bit before we started recording about how tonight we over Zoom, we span the state from Mobile to Birmingham all the way to Huntsville. So we span the state over on our digital campfire this evening. But man, I just really love what you're doing, and hope, you know, our goal in this whole podcast is for people to be challenged. To do things like what you're doing with your family, is to get out there, to share an adventure, especially in our own backyard. I love that. It's right here, a short drive, and you can find adventure right here in the state of Alabama, in places that are beautiful. Right here in Alabama, the beautiful, and there's a reason it's called that. And so you're showing people how to find out why it's called that. And so we're thankful for that, and we hope this conversation inspires people to get out there. To find adventure, to write them down. We love it when people write them down, when people do blog, and when people share their adventures in the place that we love to call the storied outdoors.
Redbeard's Outfitter is a Mobile, Alabama-based outfitter offering a carefully curated selection of gear and apparel, outfitting you for your next adventure, exploring our world, and building community. We love this local store, and we love supporting folks like them who are building community in the outdoor space. Plus, they have some spectacular apparel for Alabamians and all the gear anyone would need to be ready to enjoy the outdoors. Use promo code TSO for a 20% discount online, or visit them in store. Visit redbeardsoutfitter.com for more information.